You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome in, MLB.com Extras, the Milwaukee Brewers edition. Dave Raymond with Adam McAlvey. And Adam, you know, I just kind of want to go right into this. You and I are speaking on a Monday afternoon, and the news came out earlier today. A former Brewers outfielder and a former colleague of mine, and I know a colleague of yours, Darrell Hamilton. Very tragic news in Houston. Passed away. Apparently the victim of some domestic violence in his own home. What can you tell us about the situation?
Well, yeah, the report today that he was murdered as part of a murder-suicide, and it's devastating news. I mean, literally, and you're probably feeling the same way, Dave, you're numb. The best way to put it is it's beyond my comprehension that anyone could harm Darrell Hamilton. He was one of the brightest personalities that I ever came across in this game, and I was lucky to get to know him during the 2014 season. He picked up radio broadcasts for the Brewers, 29 of them, when Bob Uecker took some time off for the first time. And he was such a big, bright part of the traveling party, and the smile is what you remember, how much he loved baseball, how much he loved being at the ballpark, how much he loved people. You know, the best way I can think of him is his personality was reflected in the way he dressed. You know, it was all these bright colors. It was all these crazy patterns, contrasting patterns, and it was always impeccably ironed and put together. And that's who he was. He was this big, bright ball of energy. And it's devastating for those of us who knew him and liked him to think about the fact that he's gone.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I could do any better than that. Very, very well said. And I think, like you point out, you know, it's the smile. I mean, it was just he was always happy. He was always having fun. He was, and not in a goofy way. I mean, he was just a very upbeat, positive guy, and so involved on so many different levels. He was a great player and a broadcaster. And oh man, I just can't imagine. Especially
worked in the commissioner's office for a while. You know, that was an important part of his career. And it's been interesting talking to those who knew him today. I called Jeff Cirillo, the former Brewer, who was a young player. Hamilton was already somewhat established. He says what he remembers is that Cirillo showed up in Milwaukee and he didn't have a car. Darrell Hamilton knew he needed a car, so he gave him his car, a car that Bud Selig had loaned from his dealership, and Hamilton figured it out and gave the kid his car so he didn't have to worry about that. And Cirillo said they've done fantasy camps for the last couple of years together, and Cirillo obviously went on to a great career himself, an all-star, did a lot of things in the game. But they get back to fantasy camp, and Cirillo says it was still the same way. It was still the veteran hazing the rookie. And Cirillo had to wear it for a couple of days down in Phoenix. And, you know, stuff like that is what it's who Darrell Hamilton was. One more, if I could share, Jim Duquette, the former he was the assistant GM of the Mets when they traded for Darrell Hamilton. And he was the man who had to release Darrell Hamilton, and he had a falling out with Bobby Valentine. And it was a tough situation, obviously. It was the end of Darrell Hamilton's playing career. And Jim Duquette told me that whenever he would see him subsequently, instead of it being an odd, awkward situation, Hamilton would throw an arm around him and yell out to anyone who could listen that this is the man who released me, you know, from baseball. And they would have a good laugh about it. He never held it against Jim Duquette. And it's little things like that. I wasn't there for either of those situations, but it's exactly how I remember Darrell Hamilton too. Just that smile, as you said, that laugh. Just a guy who really loved being around this game.
Yeah, tragic story, and I'm sure more details will be forthcoming. But boy, the passing of Darrell Hamilton, one is just kind of hitting us all in the gut on this Monday. And for you and the Milwaukee Brewers, Adam, it's not as if they need additional disappointment and frustrations. I was going to joke with you before the podcast about how, you know, it's just our weekly visit where you assure us all that everything is okay, even though quite clearly things are not with the Milwaukee Brewers. They managed one win since we last spoke. And, gosh, you know, we're getting to that point now, Adam, where I just wonder – we talked a lot about normalizing and just kind of getting back to playing decent baseball. But at this point now, it's got a little bit of that train wreck feel, right? It's just sort of how bad can or how bad will this thing get? I don't know anymore what we're watching for.
Well, and here's the problem, because you're right. This season is toast. The problem for them is, where do they go from here? And the reason that I think normalizing and getting better is important is that you'd like to take some of these pieces and do something with them and get some young players back for the future. That is a significant challenge right now for Doug Mellon, because the guys that he, the players that the Brewers have who are tradable are almost to a man struggling. You know, you're talking about Matt Garza with the highest ERA of his career. Kyle Loesch, the highest ERA in baseball among qualifying pitchers. Aramis Ramirez, quiet, not providing an impact bat. These are guys who they would, if they could, I think, you know, deal and try to get back a prospect or two. If you go bigger than that, you look at Carlos Gomez. If they're going to make a big impact trade this trade season, Carlos Gomez is the most likely candidate. He's signed through this year and next. Dynamic player, you know, from a contending team's perspective, if they want power, if they want speed, if they want a leadoff guy, if they want premium defense, Gomez gives you all of that. But he's been sidelined by this hip issue, and they tried to give him some days, knock it out. Well, it didn't get knocked out, so they gave him some more days this past week. They're hoping to get him back in the lineup here in the coming days. So there is significant issues for this team right now, both in terms of losing every day and just the immediate record, but also, I think, more importantly, for the long term, because it's their long-term planning right now is challenging, to say the least.
Yeah, challenging would be a real good word for it. We saw Ron Ranicki let go earlier this year. Melvin has managed to hold on for the time being, but this just really, I mean, you get to the point where I just feel like he's in a situation now where he almost can't win.
And he is, he's an interesting situation. In the final year of his contract, there's been lots of questions here in Milwaukee about what is Doug's future. He's been doing this a long time. You know, he brought this franchise up from the depths. When Doug Mellon took over, this team was in the final weeks of a 106-loss season in which things looked incredibly dire. This big new ballpark and a big, huge mess on the field. And he brought them back to the point where they were a contending club every year when they went to spring training. So this is now the first time in a long time where this Brewers team has been kind of staring at a rebuild. And there's lots of questions about the future for Doug Mellon, and they haven't really been answered, at least publicly. I think there probably is more of an internal plan for what's happening there in a transition to the next, the next general manager of this team, perhaps. I would venture to guess that that's been at least discussed and probably is somewhat down the road. But it's an awkward time to start, you know, talking about those types of things. Because it's just the immediacy of the problems on the field are sort of paramount right now. And if Doug Mellon is going to have a role in the organization going forward, which is everyone sort of expects is going to be the case, it's a tough time to kind of talk about that right now. So I think they're kind of back-burnering those issues and dealing with the immediate issues first. So that was the draft. They're through the draft. And now here we go to the next big project, is the trade deadline on July 31. And I think there's a lot of focus right now on how they're going to get through that and try to maximize what they do have and try to get, again, it's all about getting better for the future and avoiding this type of thing again.
Yeah, well, they need Matt Garza and Kyle Loesch and some of those veterans to really step something up here and, man, give them something to deal. It is like the worst of all scenarios right now for the Milwaukee Brewers. Well, Adam, another upbeat and cheerful conversation about Milwaukee. I swear, next week we got to have something. We got to have something fun to talk about.
I'll do my best, Dave.
All right, we'll keep looking. We'll keep looking. There he goes, Adam McAlvey, MLB.com Extras, the Milwaukee Brewers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.